As we continue our series about passages to really think about, let's review what we've covered so far. We noticed the Beatitudes of the Kingdom in Matthew 5. We noticed the defilements of the heart in Mark chapter 7. And then we noticed the qualities of love as Paul lists them in 1 Corinthians 13. Last week, we noticed what Paul said about the works of the flesh in Galatians 5. And as we summarize each of these, we have to consider the character and blessedness of those who would be citizens in the kingdom of heaven. That the source of evil and sin is what defiles mankind. And the kind of love that is possible in the lives of those who would follow Jesus is what Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians 13. And last week we noticed that the works of the flesh that can prevent someone from entering the kingdom of God. Now, after describing the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, the Apostle Paul goes on to describe the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what we're going to examine today as a passage to think about, to study on. So let's just continue as we've done in the past as we look at these lessons. The context is given to us that the flesh lusts against the Spirit. They are in direct opposition against each other. In fact, as we noticed last week, that's what Paul stated in Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. He says there, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another." Now, if we follow the lust of the flesh, he says we cannot do the will of the Spirit. That's what he says in the second half of verse 17. He said the Spirit, verse 17, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. You do not do the things that you wish." You see, the flesh pulls us in one direction, but the Spirit would have us go in another direction. And Christians must serve the Spirit. If we're led by the Spirit, we are not under the law or its condemnation, as Paul says in verses 18 and verse 23 of our text. And as Christians, we have to crucify the flesh, that is, in baptism, Galatians 5 and verse 24, and again as he writes in Romans 6 verses 3 through 12. Now, since we were made alive in the Spirit, that is, again, in baptism, it is only fitting that we walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5 and verse 25. So we must walk in the Spirit, thereby producing fruit of the Spirit. Now, when a person walks in the Spirit, they will show evidence of such by the fruit that is born in them. What the fruit is what we're going to now look at. So what does he mean there in Galatians 5, verses 22 through 25? The fruit of the Spirit includes love. It includes love, an active goodwill that's best exemplified by both God and Jesus. We see this taught in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 John 3 and verse 16 and 1 John 4 and verse 10. Another fruit of the Spirit is joy. That's gladness, delight, especially in response to God's grace, Philippians 4 and verse 4. Another fruit is that of peace. That's harmony. You are in concordance with God, man, and self, and it's made possible by the very Prince of Peace, Romans 5 verse 1, Ephesians 2, and Philippians 4. Now, the Bible Knowledge Commentary defines these virtues that they are the source, that they find their source in God, that is, love, joy, and peace. But the fruit of the Spirit incorporates some other things, like long-suffering. In other words, having patience, having self-restraint in the face of being provoked, Luke 23 and Acts 7. Another fruit is kindness. A sweetness of temper that places others at ease. You are born of mercy, Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. And then a third one there is goodness. That's benevolence, kindness in action, like we read about in Galatians 6 and verse 10. where we're told to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Again, the Bible Knowledge Commentary defines these virtues as those that reach out to others. The first three, love, joy, peace, they were virtues that find their strength in God, and these are virtues that reach out to other people. But the fruit of the Spirit integrates also into it faithfulness. That is the virtue of being reliable, dependable, trustworthy. It incorporates gentleness, kind treatment of others, born of humility. Galatians 6 and verse 1 tells us to bear one another's burdens. Self-control, that is the ability to hold oneself in, mastering our desires and our passions with the assistance of the Holy Spirit himself. Romans 8 verses 11 through 14. Again, the Bible Knowledge Commentary says that these virtues are those that guide our general conduct. A more detailed treatment of these virtues can be found in other studies. But this review of the fruit of the Spirit, with it on our mind, let's make application. Note that fruit is singular, even though it mentions many different fruits. It is the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits of the Spirit. Now, the Bible Knowledge Commentary says that this is indicating that these qualities constitute a unity of all which should be found in a believer who lives under the control of the Spirit. It goes on to say that the Holy Spirit produces one kind of fruit, and that is Christ-likeness. All the virtues now listed describe the life of the child of God. So one who truly walks in the Spirit will produce all nine virtues, not just a partial set. As I've said in the past, when it comes to obeying the Word of God, it's not that we pick and choose which ones we want to obey. It's all. And the same is true here. It's all of the fruits of the Spirit. You can't have love and not be long-suffering. You can't have joy and peace and not have faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we note that fruit is born of the Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 16, Paul says it comes by walking in the Spirit, that is living according to the Word of God. He says in the next two verses, in verse 18, that it comes by being led by the Spirit. We need to allow the Word of God, His inspired Word, to dictate our path, to direct us in our lives as we live. And he goes on in chapter 5 in verse 25 and says that it comes from those who live in the Spirit. Without the Spirit's aid, we cannot bear this fruit. So now let's notice how one receives the help or the aid of the Spirit. First, the Bible clearly teaches that one must be born again of water and the Spirit. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3 and verse 5. For example, baptism is how one receives the gift of the Spirit. That's what Peter told them on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 38 and 39. They asked after hearing that great sermon, what must we do to be saved? And after Peter told them to be baptized, he said they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is how one experiences a washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, according to Titus 3 and verse 5. And then we have to walk in the Spirit. And what that means is that we set our mind on the things of the Holy Spirit. Paul would tell us in Romans 8 and verse 5 that that is what ensures our living according to the Spirit. There's a lot of people that claim to be Christians, children of God, but they don't live according to the Bible. They want to serve God on their terms. They want to worship God on their terms. You know, on Facebook, I see a lot of people that brag about their faithfulness and how good their church is, quote unquote. But when you see what they're posting parties, they're posting concerts. And I don't read of those things in the Scriptures. The things of the Spirit would be that which the Spirit has revealed, and the Spirit nowhere in the pages of the New Testament tells us that our worship of God is to be a concert. The Word of God, which is the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, as Paul lists the armor that is what the Christian is supposed to have in Ephesians 6 and verse 17. We do this by praying for the strength of the Spirit. The Spirit in His strength enables us to put to death the deeds of the body, Romans 8 verses 12 and 13. We have to turn to the Word of God, and that helps us put behind us the things of the world, worldly worship, worldly living, worldly desires, and it's His strength that can be accessed through prayer. That's what Paul tells us in Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 21. Now, we're aided by the Spirit to the degree that we follow the Word and persist in prayer. So, in other words, if you want the Spirit's help, then you have to devote your life to following the Word of God. And you have to devote your life to persistent prayer. It's not a hit or miss. It's not only when you need it. It's all the time. Now, which would you rather have? A life infused with love, joy, and peace by the Spirit of Almighty God, or a life filled with hatred, jealousies, and outburst of wrath due to the fleshly lust? Which would you rather have? A life developing long-suffering, kindness, and goodness with the help of the Holy Spirit, or a life that's devastated by contentions, envy, and selfish ambitions due to fleshly lust? Which would you rather have? A life that's producing faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control with the help of the Spirit, or a life that's exhausted by jealousies, contentions, and immorality due to our fleshly desires? You see, Jesus gave us a choice. Through His blood, He can cleanse us of our sin. And through the Spirit, He can empower us to live a holy and righteous life. The question is, are we willing to accept His gracious choice? Remember what Paul says in Galatians 5 in verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want to thank you for being with me this morning. I would encourage you to continue to join us. I love hearing from when people tell me that they listen to the radio program. It's a great encouragement to me. If there's anything I can do for you, if you have questions about what we preach, if you have questions about what goes on at Eastside Church of Christ, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. Or if you'd like to listen to this lesson again, you can go to the church's website. That's churchateastside.com. You can listen to other lessons. As I said last Sunday, we just finished a gospel meeting. You can go there and listen to the lessons that were preached throughout the week. You can read bulletin articles that are posted there under the Encourager. And other things that you can find about who we are, the organization of the church, who the leaders are. And you can find out a little bit about who I am if you don't already know. Again, I want to thank you for joining me this morning.